bit. Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Across Melbourne on Joy 94.9 and streaming online at joy.org.au, you're listening to Saturday Magazine, every Saturday, 10 till 12.
We are joined in the studio now by Victoria's Commissioner for Gender and Sexuality, Ro Allen, who this week has probably had an extremely busy week following the disastrous shooting in Orlando in Florida. Ro, welcome.
Thanks, Pete. Thanks, Maka.
What was the personal effect on you? And we're going to talk a little more broadly about your public role and your public face, I suppose. But from a very personal point of view, how did the shooting affect you?
I think, like many people, I was stunned and shocked. You know, and is this true? That's the first thing I thought. And having to sort of go and look on social media. And as commissioner, I don't get out to clubs that often anymore. But it was the night before that I was actually at a drag king show. Mm. And so that fear of, wow, that could have been me. We were out with 12 friends. We had a great night. And you wake up the next morning and this is all going off on your phone. It was really, really sad.
I think, and I was saying to Macca before we came on air, one of the things that I think this has done, it has certainly galvanised our community. You know, quite often we're a very disparate alphabet soup of letters and motivations, I suppose, but it's actually really galvanised our entire LGBT community and more broadly our families and our friends. Who I posted something about being at the vigil on Thursday night, and the response was, you know, we are all your people. It's not just, you're not on your own here. And it was quite a little moving response. Has that been your experience as well?
Oh, absolutely. And all the allies that I've worked with in the last 11 months were texting me and ringing me and say, what can I do? How can I be there? What do you need? So, you know, and most amazing ally, and I mentioned him, you know, the Minister for Equality, Martin Foley, you know, he knew this would be personally affecting me, so he just swang in and got a whole lot of things organised while I got my stuff together and, you know, sucked it up and got out there. Yes. So I think, to be honest, I'm just starting to feel it now, because in the role that I'm in, you know, you have to take it on and
you do
get it all organised and you can't lose your
shit. I'll say it.
Thank you.
It was quite a moving vigil, and I think that the piece for me, and I know it's probably sounds a bit fluffy, but this chorus of that we are somewhere over the rainbow. It was a very, very beautiful thing to be a part of,
And to get to sing. I was singing as well, and sort of singing. There was a
couple of bad voices over my shoulder, so I don't assume you were the only one. We've had a message. I was at the St Paul's service on Thursday. I'm not religious at all, but it was a time to reflect, and it was a really lovely service. So thank you, Florence. I've heard a number of people who aren't religious say that they went to that service, because there were so many people at Federation Square that they just felt a little overwhelmed, so they went across to St Paul's to the service and said it was really beautiful.
And I think it was fantastic that it was multi-faith, and we had women, we had lesbians dressed in the whole church garb, and, you know, that was great. And I just rang, you know, a couple of people from my Uniting Church connections and said, can you swing in here and help? So we didn't want to be doing something like Sydney, I'll say it, where, you know, homophobic priests were talking about us. This was certainly not what Melbourne put on, and I'm very proud of the multi-faith community, and just rang Becky from the Inclusive Melbourne Church and people that, you know, I have been working with in that space, as I said, in the last 11 months, and, you know, just gave phone numbers and let it all happen. So that was pretty amazing. It was tremendous to see Noor and the gay imam up there on stage as well. And
important as well.
Very,
very important.
When
there's the whole discussion this week has been about radical Islam, and I think we need to shift that. I've had a couple of calls into the public broadcaster sort of to express my frustration that this is first of all being spoken about as something that is radical Islam before it's been spoken about as a hate crime. And I hold a very different view. I hold the view that this, first of all, is an LGBT hate crime from somebody who is potentially radicalized. But more and more we learn about this young man, more and more we start to understand that there was probably a lot of internalized homophobia that comes before his radicalization.
I would concur, Pete, and you know, people have taken me on about this in the last couple of days, and I just say homophobia is homophobia, whether it's external or whether it's internal. Mm. It comes from the same source.
And
it
this
does.
This is Ro, where I'm most disturbed. We're in the middle of an election campaign. We're potentially, if the government wins, we're going to have a plebiscite. And I see the result of what will go on in the run-up to that plebiscite is going to be some very hateful, some very damaging things said about our community and about our community. This guy in Orlando, not knowing whether it was internalised homophobia, but he chose a gay club to do this, and he's on record as saying very, very strong anti-gay things mm-hmm. before. I'm worried about this environment that we're going to come up to with a plebiscite. You know, does that... And do politicians, and you may not be able to comment on this, but let me say, politicians who say things that are strongly anti-gay, it gives comfort to people that really do hate us. And this is one of the things that's flowed from it. Mm. You're looking very pensive there.
Thoughtful, I think, rather than pensive.
You know, how do we as a community counter this?
Mm. Well, here's my personal view, yep. Macca. I think that there are people that hate us, probably they'll die hating us. You know, there's a percentage of them, and they're going to be upset when we get marriage equality, and that's just life. Then there are the people that really don't, it's not an issue for them. They don't really think about it. You know, it's just the ambivalent factor.
Yes.
It's like, well, it's not in my life. It's not, I'm not touched by anybody. You know, that's the group that are now saying, what? Mm. No way. This is not right.
And it has activated them.
And, you know, I think it gives us, well, I was always going to stand up during the plebiscite and say strong things. I'm now going to go to town, Macca. Like, I have an absolute license to go to town if anybody says anything during that plebiscite. And it won't just be me.
No.
Have you seen our premiere? Did you hear our premiere?
I did hear our premiere on Thursday night. And again, visually moved by what had occurred. And one of the things that I absolutely admire about Daniel Andrews is he very much sticks to what he... He does what he commits to. He committed before the election to do a whole bunch of stuff, and he's doing it. And he knows some of it's not popular. Mm. I wouldn't like to get on the wrong side of Premier Andrews for a second.
Oh, no.
Because I reckon he might take it to task.
Yes.
I want to pop back to Ro Allen, I guess. She's Victoria's Commissioner for Gender and Sexuality. I want to pop back to this talk of radical Islam with this young man. So he's in the past little while suggested that he has connections to Hezbollah. He's also, during that massacre, jumped on the radio and by the phone and said that he's committed to ISIS. And at the same time, he's also made overtures to Al-Qaeda. Those three various organizations are in opposition with one another. This is the war in Syria that's happening with... so I think this call of radical Islam is probably a little bit misguided from the fact that this guy doesn't really know enough.
But those three organisations all have one thing in common. They're anti-gay.
Well, yes. I can't argue with that.
Whether it's shooting you, throwing you off a building or whatever, they all have that one thing in common. There's a common thread.
There is.
I think we can say, the investigation will come out.
Yeah.
We'll get some more information. At the moment, it's pretty, it's up in the air. But we know that anyone that does this is not together.
It's not sane.
Mm. So, aligning with three different groups that have different agendas is not sane. Is not sane. But if you feel you're an abomination, if you're told you're an abomination, what do you do to counter that?
Well, your religion tells you.
The religion
to which you subscribe tells you you're an abomination.
Yeah, that's right.
It causes a great deal, I imagine, of internal conflict. And how we deal with that internal conflict is the challenge.
Yeah. I think what it also brings up for me is, what I've seen around the globe about how people have whitewashed this.
Mm.
And they've forgotten that the majority of people who died were people of colour and Latinos people.
Yeah.
And it does give another opportunity to say, we have to look at the intersections of homophobia, biphobia and transphobia here. And we can do better. We can do better in Melbourne and Victoria.
We can.
In this space.
Mm, I absolutely agree. One of the other things that's been quite noticeable is the way it's been dealt with by various sectors of the media. So Owen Jones on Sky News early in the week sort of walked out on an interview because they wouldn't acknowledge, as he wanted them to, homophobia. And there's a, when Malcolm Turnbull first spoke this week, he actually talked about this massacre without referencing the fact that this was in a gay club. And these were gay people that were killed predominantly. So I think there's been a bit of whitewashing, I guess, of the sexuality point of this as well in the international media. I thought Barack Obama was inspiring, as always. He doesn't seem to muck it up, does he? And we've got another message saying that people have an identity crisis, especially angry young men. I think I want to go back to that point you made, that about how one feels conflicted internally. And that causes that anger in some regards. And we don't provide enough support or service to help people deal with that, particularly people of faith.
Mm.
And I think that's a big challenge we've got to face. Gun laws have obviously got to come into this as well in the United States.
But I think the challenge, you know, for the US, there are 300 million guns. They're the guns that they know about, that they know have been sold. My view is, it's gone too far. They can't pull it back. That even if you stopped selling guns tomorrow, there is still one for every man, woman, and child in the US. And you look at gun sales post events like this, they go up. You look at ammunition sales, they go up. We can't get our head around it. We can't get our head around how a society, one, can tolerate these levels of gun violence, and why they can't do anything about it.
Mm.
We're very fortunate in this country. But
have you seen this? It's very, very amazing meme that's going around about
Kinder Surprise.
Is that what it is? Look what you've done now. You've given the gays the new mandate of gun control. Have you seen what they've done and achieved in the last 30 years?
Yeah, that was good. The one you're talking about, Macca, is these two things. There's two children, one holding an AK-47 or an assault weapon, and one holding a Kinder Surprise. And it says one of these things has been banned in the United States. Can you guess which one? And it's actually the Kinder Surprise has been banned.
A child can choke on it.
Correct. But the gun, the assault weapon, the semi-automatic weapon, is not banned in the United States.
It's like a little Easter egg, but it's banned in the US.
All right, we just want to finish. Harvey Firestein has tweeted quite prolifically over the last week, and there is this tweet from less than 24 hours ago. Assault weapons made it possible, homophobia made it probable, and the NRA made it profitable. Wake up, America. I think it's a wonderful sentiment to finish with. Thank you for joining us this morning.
My pleasure.
Thank you.
Just before you go, is there a message you can leave with those that remain affected? What's your thoughts?
I think what I said on Thursday night, we see you, we stand with you, and we grieve with you in Victoria.
It's a beautiful sentiment. Ro Allen, Victoria's Commissioner for Gender and Sexuality, thank you for joining us in the studio this morning.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.